This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. New reports show Donald Trump's election campaign was in regular communication with Russian intelligence officers throughout the campaign. Trump's national security adviser, Michael Flynn, resigned once the public learned about conversations with the Russian government. For Donald Trump, the problem was not the act itself, which may prove to be illegal, but the fact that we found out. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins me now. Welcome back, Ken.
Thank you, Frank.
So I know there's news swirling about Washington right now. NBC and Reuters reporting that Alexander Acosta may be the new nominee for Labor Secretary. I want to get to that in a minute. That's the newest news, but not the biggest news. It seems to me that these revelations about campaign staff in communication with Russian intelligence officers has got to be the big news. What do we know?
I agree completely. And, of course, we don't know that for a fact. We know that the New York Times is reporting that throughout the campaign, Trump campaign officials and other loyalists to Trump were meeting with Russian intelligence officials. It was coming at the same time when Donald Trump was saying very nice things about Vladimir Putin throughout the campaign. And it came at a time when apparently Russia was doing what it can, according to intelligence agencies, what it could to not only elect Donald Trump, but at the same time defeat Hillary Clinton. It was interesting how the FBI and Democrats are really livid about this, that the Democrats, that the FBI at the time would be talking openly about the investigation regarding Hillary Clinton's emails, but not a peep about what Donald Trump and the Republicans were doing with meeting with Russian intelligence officials, and that still grates on Democrats today. But anyway, that's in the past. Now we have to decide what to do with it if it's true. I think, Frank, in your introduction, I think it's very illuminating the fact that Donald Trump, as you're, and you're absolutely right about this, he seems much more upset that there were leaks about it, not what Michael Flynn and others in the administration or his allies did. And, of course, that's the opposite of what Donald Trump said during the campaign when the leaks were about Hillary Clinton and the DNC and Podesta and all that stuff. He said, this is great. We love these leaks. We need more of them.
Right.
That's not what he's saying today.
Well, let's talk about what might happen. We'll talk about Michael Flynn in just a minute because we do know what he was doing, and he had to quit because he was actually involved in conversations, which may prove to be illegal, and didn't tell anybody. And apparently Trump knew, and until we found out about it through other means, we may or may not have ever found out. Question is, will there be an investigation? This stuff really affects national security and the law. American U.S. law is at stake. Are there going to be investigations, you think?
Well, that's a great question because the Democrats and Republicans in Congress are on two different minds on that. Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, said that, well, you know, the Intelligence Committee can deal with it. And, of course, the Intelligence Committee is led by Richard Burr of North Carolina. The Democrats are saying, no, we need a special committee like we did with Watergate, like we did with, you know, anything else, because this is of national security. And I think Burr is coming, you know, I think for the longest time the Republicans would say, well, this is a distraction. The media are creating this to keep us from what we really want to do, and that's to get rid of the Affordable Care Act and put in tax reform and things like that. But with the New York Times reporting, you know, with multiple sources that the Trump people were meeting with the Russian intelligence officials during the campaign, I think more and more Republicans are coming along with it. Some people like John McCain, it makes it clear, Marco Rubio even, make it clear that they do not want this swept under the rug. But there are other Republicans who are not that yet convinced. And certainly the House Intelligence Committee seems more concerned about the leaks than exactly what Flynn and the others were doing.
Well, the fact that Michael Flynn was forced to resign tells you something. There's a little bit of shift, and the fact is there is blood in the water. And in Washington, D.C., we know that it doesn't stop with this report. Things then begin to get much more aggressive. And allegiances tend to shift once we notice that perhaps you're running out of power.
That's exactly true. And, of course, the official word why Michael Flynn resigned was not for what he did, but the fact that he didn't tell the truth to Vice President Pence. And, of course, when you lie to members of the administration, well, that's not a good sign at all, and he had to go. But the question is, I mean, does Michael Flynn do this on his own? Does he decide on his own to meet with the Russian ambassador to talk about sanctions? I mean, one would think that, you know, he works for somebody. And of course, if that somebody is Donald Trump, it's interesting what Donald Trump is now talking about, putting somebody at the head of the intelligence agencies that will filter certain information to him and perhaps control the kind of information that the intelligence agencies gather. which is, doesn't sound like an independent intelligence agency in the long run.
We're talking about Steven Feinberg now, right?
Right, right.
So Steven Feinberg, co-founder of Cerberus Capital Management, would be put in charge of it. Tell us how this would work. Do you have any idea what this means, whether or not he's going to investigate how things work and walk away, or whether this would be a permanent kind of vetting position that, that Trump is talking about?
That's not clear, but it's, you know, it's not the only – I mean, first of all, you have all the, many of these – I mean, Betsy DeVos is the perfect example. There are so many people appointed to head up the agencies and cabinet departments who have absolutely no experience at all with the agencies they're dealing with. You have Scott Pruitt, who's a nominee for EPA secretary, who wants to abolish the EPA. I mean, there are so many things that are just fascinating. But this guy, you know, as we talked about, has no experience in intelligence agencies, but it seems to be, but he is a Trump loyalist. And I think that ultimately, that's what we're talking about here, putting Trump loyalists in charge of information and agencies that could protect the president.
Cerberus Capital Cerberus, by the way, for those of you who remember your Greek mythology, is the hound of hell. So I just want he's the co-founder of Cerberus Capital Management. This is a brokerage firm. If you have access to all of the intelligence in the world, this would be the ultimate insider information, don't you think, if you were a capital manager? I'm just wondering if it's legal.
Absolutely, you're right. I never thought of it that way. I like that a lot.
I mean, I'm laughing, but really, you can't be a financial, an investment banker and then have access to U.S. intelligence. I wouldn't think this, I would think that at some point somebody would say, oh, well, this would be insider information, not to mention conflict of interest. But anyway, this is something that, that Donald Trump is floating. And they have been very sensitive to legalities, although this might really run afoul of the law. Get back to Michael Flynn. You remember during the campaign, he was very sensitive to crooked Hillary. Here's what he said. Michael Flynn, who forced to resign because of what might end up being illegal activity, here's what he said during the campaign about Hillary Clinton.
You know why we're saying that? We're saying that because if I, a guy who knows this business, if I did a tenth of what she did, I would be in jail today. So, crooked Hillary Clinton, leave this race now.
That's Michael Flynn, who left that administration a few days ago. So tell me, I want to get back to what's going on in Congress. You mentioned Richard Burr, Republican senator from North Carolina, starting to have a little change of mind about how to navigate the intelligence questions here. With all of the, what's happening, and we didn't even talk about the Puzzer, withdrawal yet. Is there a sense that that the time might truly be coming, that the Trump administration might be under full investigation? Are we really looking at a moment when impeachment is an actual possibility?
Well, you know, it reminds me, I mean, this is premature, but it reminds me of the kind of conversations we had in the early days of Watergate when Democrats saying this is such an impeachable offense against Richard Nixon, and the Republicans brought the line that this was just a third-rate burglary that was just a creation of the Democrats and Larry O'Brien and the media. So who knows? But the fact is that more and more Republicans are being concerned about this. I think there is, it seems to be a different tone even in Richard Burr. I saw an article that Mark Warner, who's the ranking Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, is basically saying to Burr, said, wait a second, you know, we can't just ignore what's happening there. There are things there that need to be investigated. But ultimately, the Democrats are not going to have a say in what happens. It really is about the Republicans. It really is about Mitch McConnell. And whatever you think about Mitch McConnell, he is a canny, kind of savvy kind of guy. He'll know that if it becomes intolerable for the Republicans to hold arm's length distance from kind of a serious investigation, he will change his tune if it will protect his party.
And it certainly did happen in the with the question of Donald Trump's choice for labor secretary. Tell us what happened there and how it was that the Republicans said, untenable, he's got to go.
Well, there were so many things wrong with Andrew Puzder, and as a matter of fact, they were saying this from the beginning. Democrats were opposed to him from the very beginning. He was the head of Hardee's, who he opposed raising the minimum wage. He opposed giving overtime pay. He had a history of not of treating his employees not well, shall we say. And of course, there was always the thing about his 1988 divorce, where his wife showed up in disguise and the Oprah on the Oprah show and said all these horrific horrific things that he did to her, but of course she later recanted that. And then the Republicans said, wait a second, we're putting somebody on Secretary of Labor who hired an undocumented immigrant as his housekeeper. I mean, we know that Zoe Baird under the Clinton administration and Linda Chavez in the Bush administration had to withdraw because of such things. And how does Andy Puzder get away with this? So there were so many people. As a matter of fact, Tom Tillis was among these Republicans who said, wait a second, I don't think this is the right guy we need to be confirming. And when he realized, when the Republicans realized that there could be between 4 and 7 Republicans voting against his nomination, McConnell called the White House and said, this guy's got to go, and he withdrew.
We're seeing all kinds of reports now about the gridlock on Capitol Hill with a Republican-controlled White House and Congress. And the fact is that Trump's troubles, which are manifold, now enjoying 40% approval rate at the latest poll, has made it impossible for the GOP with a strong majority to get anything through. Is this going to have an effect on Trump?
Well, it absolutely does. And as I said earlier, a lot of the Republicans are complaining that these distractions, although they may be more than just distractions, but these distractions are taking away from their agenda. But aside from signing some executive orders and meeting with and tweeting, I know the North Korea missile, ballistic missile launch was not a good thing, but Nordstrom, oh my God, did you see what Nordstrom did? I mean, the priorities seem to be so out of whack that there are a lot of veterans on Capitol Hill on the Republican side said, my goodness, this is what we got ourselves in for. We'll see how long this lasts.
All right, and we'll stay tuned for the formal announcement about a replacement for Puzner and the a Labor Secretary nominee, a new one supposed to be, we're supposed to be hearing about that very soon. But Ken Rudin, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Frank, and I'm going to miss Laura Lee. Just want to say that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow. I've been avoiding that conversation
until I have to
do that tomorrow, and I will do
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Frank.
Ken Rudin on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.